So, Fred, basically, you're saying that a typical school district would find better ROI in hiring a consultant up front so they're not buying either antiquated or the wrong equipment to do the job.
Or more equipment than they actually need. Too often, the first step they take is to start calling equipment vendors rather than a consultant or some or an engineer or somebody who is independent, not affiliated with any types of equipment. And they ask for proposals, and they kind of give them a tour of the site and give them general areas that they want to have, let's say, video surveillance, and receive proposals back from each company that they had contacted. But there are invariably apples, oranges, and bananas. One will have black and white cameras, another will have color. One will have digital recording, another will have analog. One will say put the cameras inside, another company will say put the cameras outside. So it's impossible to compare them as equal bids. And so I asked them, well, how did they decide which one is the best? And they said, well, we're required by the state to choose the lowest bid. And I remind them that these aren't bids, these are proposals, and a proposal is chosen based on the best economic value and the best use of technology, which they usually don't have people in-house to be able to even make those decisions, but certainly not the lowest price. And they say, well, but we're required by the state to take the lowest bid. And I again remind them that these are not bids, that they are not required to take the lowest price, that they should choose the best technology and the best value. So again, it's the purchasing department. It's not quite clear on what the rules of purchasing are, and they make the wrong decision. It's also, once it becomes a bid, if it becomes a bid situation or a lowest price, and the equipment vendors are told that they're going to choose one based on the lowest price, then the best practices go out the window, and it's what can they provide that's the cheapest. So when they're expecting to be able to see in the dark, they can't. When they were hoping for color, they get black and white systems. When they wanted to be able to view or identify the students by their faces, they can barely tell whether it's a student or an animal. So they just don't get the systems that they were expecting. Many times they want to view the parking lots, and they even point to a particular light pole that they want a camera mounted on to be able to view the parking lot. And instead they end up with a camera mounted on the building that has a lot less desirable view. And they'll say, well, why didn't we get our camera on the light pole? And the vendor will say, well, it was too expensive to trench out there, so we put it somewhere else would be cheaper. So the school district doesn't get what they want. In many cases, it's an unusable system. And yet again, they've paid tens of thousands of dollars to have this installation for a system they can't use.
Do you find that Fred, if they start early with you, you're able to run that gauntlet for them and build a spec that each of the prospective integrators would follow and be able to give basically the same pricing for the same end product?
Yes, and I also try to explain the various technologies to them. And because more and more systems are running over a network, I usually try to bring in the school district's IT personnel and have them sit on it so they know that we're not trying to do something behind their back, and how much of the network, if any, is being used, and how much of a drain the system would be on their network. So it seems to work out a lot better that way, where they're part of the design team. But once I explain the technology and what it will do and what it won't do, they seem to be more satisfied, and we can then agree on what parameters we want, whether it's color or black and white, inside, outside, or both. Whether it's going to be analog or digital, all the things are gone through them, through the school district, so they understand exactly what they're getting. And then I usually will make a formal bid package of formal drawings and specifications, so everyone then is truly bidding on exactly the same thing. And it's more apples and apples, not a system that everyone has gone off on their own tangent. So that way it's more equal. But the other thing I do, if the school district has not standardized already on any particular brands, is I really emphasize in the specifications more towards who is qualified and how the system is to be installed, rather than jumping on any particular brand. To me, I'd rather handpick 4 to 6 system integrators that I know are very reputable and will do a good job, and let them choose within the brands that they use of what they want to use rather than specifying a brand and having somebody put it in that's maybe not qualified to do so.
So you're speccing an outcome, Fred, and basically they have to work backwards from that?
Exactly. Too often when they do talk to a vendor, that vendor also might be basically a sole source supplier. So they might pick him to design a system for free. He specifies the brand he has exclusive rights to sell in that territory, so no one else can actually even bid against him. And so then they're not really getting any competitive bids.
Well, is that common throughout the consulting world within security?
It is common. It's not necessarily a real frequent occurrence, but it is a common practice. The dealer also has other things that they can put into the spec. For example, if they live close to the construction site, they can say that the supplier has to be within so many miles that it excludes half their competition.
So they're kind of building the RFP around their services.
Exactly.
So on a bigger, kind of a bigger picture question, what do you see as the security industry's biggest challenge going forward?
I think it's jumping on the bandwagon of the network world. Too many dealers are reluctant to go in that direction, and they say, well, it's this new technology. We're not sure whether that's viable or not, and yet they don't realize that networks have been around for decades. It's not a new technology. It's always been there. They just haven't utilized it. So it's the security industry catching up with the rest of the world and being able to understand how networks work and being able to utilize it.
Do you see wireless impacting how we're doing security and how we're implementing devices in schools and in security in general?
I do, but probably a different way than you would expect. I don't foresee an extensive use of wireless as far as like cameras or card readers. It's usually fairly easy to run copper cables in hallways to get a hardwired signal. Where I actually see the use of wireless increasing is the other end, the monitoring part of it, that I think schools realize that rather than paying someone just to sit in a chair and stare at a monitor all day long, it makes more sense to be out on a roving patrol to observe what's going on. And if they can view on a handheld monitor like a PDA or a iPod what's going on, it makes more sense and it's more economically feasible for them to be able to rove and view the video as needed rather than just sitting in one location. And this can be done by if the school has a Wi-Fi system, and most of them do.
Fred, with over 25 years in working with as-is and now having received the lifetime membership, what would you say to a college graduate or a person looking to change fields into the security industry? What would you say to them as they walk in and look at all of the different areas within security that they can step into?
Well, I would say to help direct them that they definitely should join ASIS. It's a great organization, and it gives them exposure to just about every aspect of security there is. And, of course, the Protection of Asset Manuals is our Bible that we go by that is a great aid to help us explore those options and is a good reference manual for looking up what they should or shouldn't be doing. And, of course, good business practices. Always being honest with our clients and so on.
What do you see as the next technology jump within security, and how would we utilize it?
Well, we've switched from kind of doing our own thing and marching to our own drummer to jumping on the bandwagon with other technologies, and I think it started out with video where we were designing our own cameras using our own chips and quickly discovered that we could use consumer chips and cameras that were mass-produced and greatly reduce the cost of cameras and especially color cameras. Now we're utilizing existing networks to be able to transmit signals from cameras, card readers, PA systems, intercoms, and so on over that same network, which saves a tremendous amount of money in cabling costs. So I think it's going to be dependent on the computer industry and where they're going. And of course, the iPod and PDAs have helped also to be able to view video in Wi-Fi covered areas that we couldn't do before. So the next leap in technology, I think, is going to be based on what the computer industry does and what's being developed in, on those arenas.